Right, good morning and welcome. As you can see, Christoph has given me the opportunity this morning, or should I say the honor, and it's been a while since I've been behind here, and I must be honest with you, I forgot what a fearful thing it is to stand behind here. But I do believe the Lord has given us a word this morning, and this word I would like to bring from the bottom of my heart, and I'm really trusting God that's going to encourage us this morning. Amen.
Amen.
All right. The title to the message is God's Heart for Unity. God's Heart for Unity. And we're going to be standing still at one of the most beautiful prayers ever lifted up to heaven. And that was the prayer that Christ prayed before he was betrayed. So we can open our Bibles, please, to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. The heading to the chapter is the High Priestly Prayer. And one thing about this church is that we are a praying church. I know it. I'll tell you why. We pray in the cell groups. We pray in the intercession. We pray before the service. We pray before the worship. We are a praying church. And what's so beautiful about prayer, it reveals the heart, doesn't it? I mean, I love sitting in the cell group or in intercession and just listening to others pray. Something happens. Something opens up. The heart, you can hear in somebody praying, you can hear the connection they have with God. You can hear their reverence that they have, their thankfulness, their dependency. It's clear in a prayer. So I'm trusting God this morning when we go through the prayer of Christ that we see his heart. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your mercy that's fresh every day. Lord, speak to our hearts, Lord. Open up our eyes, open up our ears. Strengthen our faith this morning. Unite us in your name, I pray, in Jesus' name. Verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Let's just stand there for a moment. Two things are happening here. We see there's a union between the Father and the Son. Father, glorify me that I can glorify you. The second thing we see is that Christ's main motivation in this prayer is to glorify the Father. Now let's ask ourselves this morning, how many prayers are going up on a daily basis? From our homes, from our workplace, even in the car, that has this as its anthem theme, to glorify God. Or Father, glorify us that we may glorify you. In other words, Lord, conform us to your image, that we may display your beauty, your glory, your power, your mercy, your grace. Verse 2. Since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Underline true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Church, when it comes to eternal life, knowing the true God and Savior depends upon it. There are many false Christs, and I'm saying false Christ because it looks similar. It looks like it's Christian. But it's subtle and its roots are rotten. So we need to know who the true God and Father is. Amen? So we need to be seekers of the truth. Verse 6, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. This is a promise here that we need to hold on for dear life. He's saying that Christ has the authority to give eternal life to who? To all whom the Father has given him. And so he manifests himself to those. All right? And we see the responses that they kept his word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me. And they have received, underline. And have come to know in truth, underline, that I came from you, and they have believed, underline, that you have sent me. I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those who have given me. For they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. We're starting to see Christ's heart open up here. It's very beautiful. He's saying that, Father, just as you and me are one, keep them as one. In other words, there's an experience here, that unity that he has with his Father, that fulfillment, that joy, that complete package. His heart for us is that we experience the same thing. Can we see that? So God's heart for us is that we must experience that amongst each other. So let's just go back a few steps. He's manifest himself to us. How do we respond? We have kept his word, we have believed his word, and we have received his word. Okay. I'm saying this now because we need to see the flow. It first starts with him, and we respond. And that's a sort of a principle we see in the church today, or in our Christian lives, isn't it? He's given us love, we love others. He's blessed us, we bless others. He's forgiven us, we've forgiven others. That's sort of the principle that we see in our lives, don't we? Starts with him, and we respond. Now, I'm saying this morning because in the modern church or today, we are seeing there are two main streams, very strong streams, and I'm going to give them names. This stream on this side, I'm going to call God's promises to the believer. This stream on this side, we're going to call the responsibility of the believer. Now, on this side, this stream believes that God is all sovereign in keeping us to the end. Why? Because he promises he will. John 6, those who the Father gives me, I will not lose, but I will raise up on the last day. There's a scripture. This side believes that God is all sovereign in keeping us to the end as long as we follow. So as long as we choose to follow, he's able to keep us to the end. All right. Scripture we can tag it with would be, those who persevere to the end will be saved. All right. So these are the two streams, and we tend to find ourselves leaning towards one of them. Okay. What I would like to break open this morning is that these two streams cannot flow independently. They cannot flow independently. Why? Because the Bible says they can't. Let's have a look at this one. The promise. If the sole purpose is to believe in the promises without the responsibility, we bear no fruit. We've been called and chosen to what? To bear fruit. Faith without works is dead. Dead faith. All right, this side. If the sole purpose is responsibility, without faith, where do we end up? We end up trying to establish our own righteousness. All right? We know the Bible says that we cannot please God without faith. So works without faith is what? Dead works. Faith without works is dead faith. Works without faith is dead works. Can we see that? All right. So here it comes. What has this got to do with unity? All right. Well, what we see is on this side, people, this stream tends to attract a certain type. Okay? We can call that the more spiritual kind of guys. They see the visions. They prophesy. They have the dreams. So this side always tends to attract more of those spiritual kind of guys. They're the guys up on the mountain blowing the shofar and so forth. All right. On this side, we see that this stream tends to attract more of the practical guys. They see the guy without the jacket. Yeah, take my jacket. You're getting cold. They see the hungry. They say, listen, come into my home. Let me feed you. Let me look after you. Can you see where I'm going with this? All right. The problem when it comes to unity is that we tend to sit on our fence and throw stones at the other side. Let me give you an example. On the fence of promises, we look to this side and we say, amen. Ach, no. He's feeding the hungry, but what about praying for the hungry? Can you see that? Yesterday, there was a rainbow in the clouds. Didn't he see that? This morning, I opened up my door. An eagle flew past. Can you see what's happening? That's spiritual. We start judging this side. This side says, I've got a bucket full of food to dish out, and nobody's here to help me dish it out. Where are they? Their heads are in the clouds. Come down and come and help. All right. I'm pointing out these two streams because this is not God. God doesn't want this from us. Okay, we are there to help each other. This side says, come guys, come pray with us. Come, let's trust God for breakthrough here. Come, let's fast together. Come, we believe that God is going to come through. This side must help the others, encourage others. Guys, come. You're missing out. Come, we go help out. Let's go clothe. Let's go feed. Come. We're there to help each other and encourage one another. Now, there are those in church that live pretty centered. I mean, we know they are amongst us. And it's amazing to watch them, how they live. And we should be encouraged by them. Okay, so here's the thing. Just give me a sip of water, please. Here's the thing. When we look at this stream of responsibility, church, we need to understand that it's not in our own strength. It's in His strength. Okay? The moment we try and live out our responsibility in our own strength, we are basically bearing our own fruit. We are not bearing fruit that glorifies God. The branch cannot bear fruit unless it's in the vine. Okay? And we have been called to bear fruit in His strength. So how do we go about doing that? How do we tap into His power, His divine power, to live out our responsibility? Let us open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, please. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. This is important. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. So how do we partake of His divine nature? It's through the promises. So we got to believe. He's promised this to us, and now we're going to make every effort to fulfill it. He's promised this to us, and now the door's open for us to partake of that divine power to get our job done. Can you see how it's working? So promises are important, church. We need to stand on them. We need to believe them. And it's through this that we make every effort. Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Can you see it comes back to unity again? Brotherly affection and love. And we know Colossians 3 says what? That love is the bond of perfection. It's a cement between the stones. All right. Let's go back. John 17. Say one more thing about this. We need to see responsibility in a new light. We need to see it. If you say it, responsibility. Response, draw a line, ability. We respond through His ability. Right. Verse 13. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. For Christ to pray that the Father keeps us from the evil one, we need to see that there's a threat out there. It's the devil. Revelations 19, it says that the devil is the deceiver of the world. We need to see this threat. Christ sees it and he prays for us. Okay. So when it comes to unity now, many times when we take offense, we've got to do ourselves a favor and those around us. We've got to ask God, Lord, please help me here. I need your strength. I don't want to take offense. I know it's going to open a door for the enemy to come in. Please give me the strength. Share it with your friend and say, listen, brother or sister, I'm really struggling, and I don't want that enemy to come in. The moment we let him in, there's a problem. He's come to divide us. So we need to fight for this. We need to be shoulder to shoulder, side by side, not letting the enemy in. Verse 16. They are not of the world just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Let's just underline that. As you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Underline. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Unity is starting to look a bit different now, doesn't it? I mean, we've got love on the one side binding us together. Okay. But we also got truth that unites us. That's why he's asking, Father, sanctify them in truth so that they can be one, just as you and me are one. So truth and love work together in terms of unity. But now here's the thing. We need to know, where are we going as a church? Well, truth is our direction. We are on a path of holiness, and the Lord is busy sanctifying us. Christ is washing us through his word and preparing us for his return. And the way we get there together is love. Love is there to be patient with one another, to be kind to one another. Come, come. You're lagging behind. Come, come. This is where we're going. This is where we're going. That's unity. We're looking after each other. All right. I want to give you an example now. One of the top praise and worship teams of America have just released their new single, Glory, Honor, Power. Glory, Honor, Power. I get to hear it for the first time. Catchy. Catchy. It becomes my battle song every morning. Glory, Honor, Power. Glory, Honor, Power. And I start living in the song. Oh, it's awesome. It's uplifting me. It's my battle song for my season. Okay. So now I'm starting to learn the lyrics of the song, and verse 2 comes along, and I realize something. Wait a minute. There's something here that's wrong. This song is actually pointing that the glory should come to me and not to God. So what now? What do I do? It's my battle song. So what happens is I've seen a stone in the road. Okay? And if you see a stone, you must know that you've discerned something. And to be able to discern means that Christ has revealed himself to you in truth, and this stone is a conflict to that truth. Okay, so now I've got a choice. I see the stone. I can walk around it. I mean, I've seen it. It's not going to have any effect on my life. I can go carry on with the glory, honor, power. You see what I'm saying? Or I can go back and look at the stone and say, what would Christ do here? He would remove the stone. He would chuck it out. Why? So nobody else stumbles. If I don't do that, and I send the song to a couple of mates, and they send it to their mates, and before you know it, everybody's glory, honor, power, but along the line, somebody doesn't see the stone. He falls. He stumbles. Deceived. Love is there. Truth is there to help us see the stone. Love is there to remove it. Now what happens? I see the stone, I hear the song, I keep quiet, I don't tell anybody. All right. I get a WhatsApp. Colin, have you heard the latest song? It's my battle song, Jesus, the song that I've been waiting for in my season. Now what do? Ish, party basher. But if I love that person, I'm going to say, buddy, This might be your fight song, but please get rid of it. These stones in there that can make many stumble. Please. Can you see? It's not easy to be that person. It's not. I'm telling you this because I know for myself, I've been in that situation many times. I've even been sweating in a situation like that. You know, you want to be truthful and you want to stand for truth, and you know that this is a stone that can cause many to stumble, but because this guy's so excited about this song, we don't want, God, please just show him, and we turn our back towards it. That's not love, man. Love, we look after each other. We say, buddy, I know this is not going to be lekker for you, but get rid of that song. Get another song. All right. Verse 26. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. I will continue to make it known. Christ has not given up. He doesn't only manifest himself once. He continues to manifest himself to us in truth. And he says to the Father, Father, that love that we have, pour it in their hearts. Why? So we can share it amongst ourselves. Love is there to bind us. Amen? So we're going to quickly recap. From the top, we're going to see that Christ has been given all authority to give eternal life. What is eternal life? To know the true God and Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. He then manifests himself to us. We respond by keeping, believing, receiving. Right? He asks that we will experience the unity that he has with his Father, that God, the Father will keep us as one, just as they are one. He says to us later, he asks the Father, please keep them from the evil one. He then asks the Father, sanctify them in truth. And now he's saying, Lord, fill them with love. Fill them with love. So we see this is from God's side. So how do we respond? How do we respond? I mean, if he shares his truth with us, how do we respond to truth? We keep his truth, we stand his truth, and we fight for truth. But we've seen his heart now, closing scripture. Philippians chapter 1. Okay, this is the time where I need you to nudge your neighbor. Make sure he's listening. Make sure he's still awake. Because this is our part now. This is how we're going to respond. Verse 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Chapter 2, verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Amen. Amen. One mind, one spirit, we glorify God. That was Christ's prayer from the beginning, all about his glory. Unity is there to glorify him. Something we need to fight for. Something we need to hold dear. Something we need to grow in. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you've shared your heart with us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that unity is something special and that it comes from you. I thank you, Lord, that your heart's desire for us is that we will experience the same unity that you have with your Son and that your Son has with you. I pray this morning, Lord, is to sanctify us in your truth. Sanctify us, Lord. Unite us in truth. Unite us in love. Lord, I pray that our lives as a congregation, as a body, Lord, will display your glory in our valley. Will display your majesty, your power, your honor in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that you will forgive us for sometimes relying on our own abilities. But this morning, Lord, we lay down our lives before you and we ask you that we respond through your ability and not our own ability. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.